let's get the auction underway. On the first cow here, who's got 55, sold your way.
79, JBS, number one.
JJ's the...
7-8, but an 8-9, 9-9, now 59, 60, 60, 60, 65, now quarter, quarter, half and a half, but a 5, 75, but a 5, now 75, 75, now 75, but a 75, sold your way.
Ponudba in preupraševanje. Vsak drugi ponedeljek v mesecu ob 8 večer preuprašujemo ekonomske teme in ponujamo odgovore.
I want to talk for a few minutes with the people of the United States about banking.
No, no, no.
Pozdravljeni v oddaji Ponudba in preupraševanje. Oddaji o gospodarskih temah na valovih Radija Študent na sporedu vsak drugi ponedeljek v mesecu ob 8. zvečer. V tokratni oddaji bomo govorili o monopolih, koncentrirani moči dominantnih podjetij na trgu in o protimonopolni zakonodaji. Sogovorec v današnji oddaji je Kevin Carty iz organizacije Open Markets Institute. Open Markets Institute je ustanovil nekdani novinar Barry Lynn, potem ko je s sodelavci zapustil možganski trust New America. Okoliščine odhoda pojasnjuje Carty.
We have quite a bit of experience with this issue. So what happens when you've got big companies, big monopolies, they use their money to influence politics in the U.S. These companies are not just economic actors, they're political actors. And they influence American politics. And one of the things that they've begun doing, companies like Google, but also companies like Microsoft and GE and Verizon and a lot of these big companies across industries, is investing in a lot of lobbying to influence how legislation is made in Congress, but also a lot of think tanks and how ideas are generated in the U.S. and how policy is developed and thought through and such. And so Google has a lot of money in the think tank world in Washington, D.C. They invest in all sorts of think tanks across the ideological spectrum, which write on policy. And they invested in the New American Foundation, where our program used to be based at. And you know, Google had given something like $21 million to New America over the course of the think tank's lifetime, and so it was the biggest single donor. And that was never ideal. We never thought that was exactly great, but, you know, it wasn't a problem. You know, we write about how Google, is a monopolist, and really we need to answer how much power they have. And we were open with our views, and it was clear that we were critical of the foundation's biggest funder. But for the most part, there weren't many problems. Not that long ago, in July of 2017, we issued a press release applauding the EU's record fine against Google for its monopolization. And as a result of that press statement that we put out, we ended up being kicked out of the think tank. We were made to leave because it had challenged Google, and Google made its displeasure known. And we've since left. All of us were made to resign from New America.
Da velika podjetja, ki dominirajo v svojih panogah, nastopajo tudi kot politični igralci, ne bi smelo presenetiti nikogar. Kljub temu pa politični vpliv ni nekaj, kar sodobna protimonopolna zakonodaja upošteva. To ni bilo vedno tako. Ob koncu 19. in v začetku 20. stoletja je bil boj proti interesom koncentriranih velekapitalistov pomembna politična bitka na obeh straneh Atlantika. Prve moderne zakone je sprejela Kanada. V Veliki Britaniji in številnih drugih evropskih državah pa je zmerna levica najboljše orodje za odvzem moči velikemu kapitalu videla v državnem lastništvu gospodarskih panog, v katerih so se razvili monopoli. V Združenih državah Amerike je boj proti monopolom ali trust busting postal pomemben del politične tradicije, ki ga opiše Carty.
there was this big tide of anti-monopoly beginning after the Civil War and continuing through the early 1900s, which brought about our first anti-monopoly law, the Sherman Act of 1890, and brought about our second anti-monopoly law, the Clayton Act of 1914. And then all of this really found its fruition and was really further developed and substantiated in policy in the 1930s with Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal. Since then, the United States has kind of walked away from that tradition. A lot of libertarians and certain types of pro-business conservatives have slowly fought against those policy changes and fought for a much more lax treatment of monopolies. And so today we're living through the effect of that what we call a counter-revolution by the libertarian right and conservatives, certain pro-business conservatives, not all, which has really allowed for a much greater concentration of wealth and concentration of business power in a few big companies in any given sector.
Pred neoliberalno kontrarevolucijo je bilo splošno sprejeto mnenje, da je legitimno, da država nastopa kot arbiter nasprotujočih si interesov v gospodarstvu. Zato ni bilo sporno, da država pri izvajanju protimonopolne zakonodaje misli ne zgolj na interese končnih uporabnikov, ampak upošteva tudi dobavitelje in tekmece. Številne industrije so bile močno regulirane ali kar pod neposrednim državnim lastništvom, kar je bilo pogosto v Evropi. Državni monopoli so bili legitimni, vendar v imenu zasledovanja nacionalnih interesov, ki so presegali poslovne. Številne evropske države so na primer konsolidirale večje letalske družbe v okvir enega nacionalnega prevoznika, ki je v zameno za privilegiran položaj na trgu zagotavljal letalske povezave v manjše kraje, kjer leti niso bili dobičkonosni. ZDA so podjetja ohranile v zasebni lasti, a so panoge, kjer so nastali naravni monopoli, močno regulirali. Primer tega je telefonsko monopolno podjetje AT&T. V zameno za to, da država podjetja ne razbije na kose, se je AT&T odpovedal svojim patentnim pravicam, zavezal pa se je tudi, da bo financiral raziskave novih telekomunikacijskih tehnologij in slednje naredil široko dostopne. Preobrat v prakticiranju protimonopolne zakonodaje je, tako kot na še številnih področjih politične ekonomije, prišel v 70. in 80. letih prejšnjega stoletja. Namesto upoštevanja širših interesov je protimonopolna zakonodaja začela upoštevati zgolj interes potrošnika po čim nižji ceni. Ključna za to je bila knjiga ameriškega pravnika Roberta Borka Antitrustovski paradoks, katere pomen opiše Carty.
So Robert Bork wrote the Antitrust Paradox over the course of several years, and it really is one of the most important books of modern antitrust thinking in the United States in the last 50 years. It's really hard to overstate its influence. It has been immensely important. It came out in 1978, and within, you know, just a couple of years, the Supreme Court was already quoting the book. The Supreme Court was already taken by its arguments and decided that this would be the way to see antitrust going forward.
Borkov argument je bil, da je paradoksno poskušati v protimonopolni zakonodaji upoštevati tako interese potrošnika, kot tudi interes konkurence in dobaviteljev. Ti interesi naj bi bili namreč inherentno v konfliktu. Namesto tega naj, sledeč Borkovemu argumentu, protimonopolna zakonodaja upošteva zgolj interes potrošnika po najnižji ceni. To je danes osnovni imperativ, v skladu s katerim je implementirana protimonopolna zakonodaja, še posebno v ZDA. Monopoli danes niso sami po sebi nelegalni. Nelegalno je zgolj izkoriščanje tega položaja za višanje cen. Ta ohlapna definicija ciljev protimonopolne zakonodaje je močno pripomogla k temu, da smo danes v številnih gospodarskih panogah priča močni konsolidaciji. Ta se je še pospešila v zadnjem desetletju, ko so centralne banke zaradi gospodarske krize znižale obrestne mere in pocenile kredite. Ti poceni krediti so omogočili večje število prevzemov in združevanj. Karti opiše nekaj najbolj koncentriranih sektorjev.
Defense manufacturers in the US, which would make the weapons for our many wars at the moment, are very concentrated and don't offer a lot of competitive bids and are making a lot of money, in part because they're so concentrated and because there's not competition for those contracts. We see this in railroads too, where they're, you know, just like back in the Gilded Age, there are only a handful of companies which control the railroads. And then, you know, it's the same in healthcare and health insurance, among hospitals, among pharmaceutical companies that are making the most important drugs that a lot of people need to survive. Those are also monopolistic industries. We see this in just so many industries. The list goes on for a long time. But some of the ones that we think the most about are healthcare, airlines and transportation, and retail as well. I've mentioned Walmart and Amazon a couple of times. Those are really powerful monopolies in terms of their power over workers and of their power over suppliers and over consumers.
Kot izpostavlja Karti, je klasična gospodarska oligarhija še posebno prisotna pri letalskih družbah.
That industry was deregulated, 40 years ago, which meant that beforehand very closely regulated by the American government. Everything from airfares to how many seats on a plane and everything was closely regulated. And then Congress decided to privatize and deregulate that industry, which allowed these companies to essentially do whatever they wanted and to compete with each other without so much burdensome regulation. Now, the way that this worked out was not successful. Today, what we have is four airlines, which control 80% of all airline traffic in the United States. And if anything, those market concentration numbers undersell the problem. There are certain airports where, say, Delta, one of these big four, control a majority of the slots that airplanes are allowed to fly in and out of. And they use that against other airlines, but they also use it against customers. So that if you need to fly to a city that isn't as popular as, say, New York or San Francisco, that it's much, much, much more expensive than it would otherwise be in a competitive market. So this is a way in which big monopolies end up using their power against the least well-off people, so that it might be reasonable to fly to New York City from Washington, D.C., because that's a very popular route used by lots of wealthy people, and so there's a lot of competition for it. But if you're trying to fly from Cleveland to Wichita, Kansas, you know, a couple of smaller cities, which still have millions of people between those two, there's not as much competition for fares, and you've got a company like Delta or Southwest or American or U.S. Air that are able to charge essentially whatever they want, and really just bleed consumers dry.
Evropa pri združevanju velikih podjetij nič kaj dosti ne zaostaja za Ameriko. Že tradicionalno so med najbolj konsolidiranimi ponudniki telefonskih storitev. Ti ne konkurirajo na evropski ravni, ampak znotraj posameznih držav, kjer trg tipično obvladujejo ne več kot trije ponudniki. Tako stanje ohranjajo tudi nova pravila Evropske unije, ki so sicer odpravila plačila za klice v tujino, tako imenovani roaming, ampak hkrati prepovedala nakup telefonskih storitev v tujini. Primerov po posameznih državah je še mnogo. Medijsko podjetje Mediaset, ki ga obvladuje Silvio Berlusconi, ima denimo absolutni primat med italijanskimi zasebnimi televizijami, na nemškem trgu najemniških stanovanj pa sta po valu združitev in prevzemov prevladali podjetji Vonovia in Deutsche Wohnen. Konsolidirale so se tudi evropske multinacionalke, ki delujejo globalno. V zadnjem času je najbolj odmeval Bayerjev prevzem zloglasnega ameriškega specialista za genetiko Monsanta, s čimer Bayer zauzema dominanten položaj na trgu agrokemijske industrije. Najboljši primer pravega globalnega monopola pa je verjetno italijanska Luxotica, ki po nekaterih merilih obvladuje 80% trga očal in je lastnica velike večine znamk, ki jih vidimo pri optiku, hkrati pa je tudi največji lastnik prodajalen. Veliki med pa je Luxotici uspel letos, ko je prevzela francoski Essilor, ki je z 25% trga največji proizvajalec optičnih leč. V zadnjih nekaj letih se je protimonopolni boj močno usmeril proti tehnološkim in internetnim podjetjem, kot so Google, Facebook in Amazon. Ta podjetja so v zadnjem desetletju zrasla med največje na svetu. Še pred 10 leti so polovico lestvice 10 največjih podjetij po tržni kapitalizaciji sestavljala naftna podjetja. Danes se med prvih 10 uvršča le še eno – ExxonMobil. Nadomestila so jih predvsem tehnološka podjetja. Na trenutni lestvici je kar 7 od 10 največjih podjetij tehnoloških. Apple, Alphabet, ki si lasti Google, Microsoft, Amazon, kitajski internetni podjetji Alibaba in Tencent ter Facebook. Koncentracija internetnih podjetij na vrhu lestvice pa ni naključna. Njihova vrednost izhaja predvsem iz dejstva, da so si vsako na svojem področju ustvarila monopolne pozicije. Te monopolne pozicije pa izhajajo iz samega načina delovanja internetnih storitev. Za primer vzemimo podjetji Google in Facebook. Obe imate na svojih področjih, torej v spletnem iskanju in na socialnih omrežjih, praktično monopol, z izjemo kitajskega trga. Ta monopol izhaja iz precej visokih ovir za vstop na trg. Ovira za vstop na trg, v angleščini barrier to entry, je vsak dejavnik, ki preprečuje slehernemu podjetju, da bi vstopil na določen trg. To lahko zauzema obliko carin ali drugih regulatornih pogojev za vstop na trg. Zahteve po visokih kapitalskih investicijah, ki vstop otežujejo manjšim podjetjem. Obstoj močnih blagovnih znamk, s katerimi obstoječi igralci ščitijo svoje tržne deleže in podobno. V internetnem gospodarstvu pa je močna ovira za vstop na trg tako imenovani efekt mreže, v angleščini network effect. Ta pravi, da produkt ali storitev postaja več vredna z vsakim novim uporabnikom in na ta način otežuje vstop na trg novim produktom ali storitvam brez obstoječe baze uporabnikov. Efekt mreže je bil na primer eden izmed razlogov, zaradi katerih je Microsoft dosegel in ohranil monopolno pozicijo na področju operacijskih sistemov. Windows je enostavno najbolj praktičen zato, ker ga uporabljajo vsi. Podobno je pri socialnih omrežjih. Facebook svojo monopolno pozicijo ohranja zato, ker so na Facebooku pač vsi. Zagon novega socialnega omrežja, če tudi bi bil enako kvaliteten in uporaben kot Facebook, bi oteževala zahteva po kritični masi uporabnikov, ki bi storitev sploh naredili uporabno. V današnjem internetnem gospodarstvu pa je ta efekt mreže še močno ojačan z zbiranjem in analizo podatkov. Facebook iz obstoječe baze uporabnikov črpa podatke, jih analizira in uporablja za izboljšanje svoje storitve. Nov igralec na trgu, ki bi želel konkurirati Facebooku, tako brez dostopa do Facebookove baze podatkov o uporabnikih, sploh ne bi mogel ustvariti primerljivo kvalitetne storitve. Podobno je pri spletnem iskanju. Google je svoj začetni uspeh utemeljil na kvalitetnem algoritmu za rangiranje rezultatov iskanja. A danes primerljive kvalitete rezultatov ni več mogoče doseči brez dostopa do Googleove baze podatkov o preteklih iskanjih. Zbiranje in analiza podatkov tako ustvarjata pogosto nepremagljivo visoko oviro za vstop novih igralcev na trg. Poleg visokih ovir za vstop na trg, internetno gospodarstvo zaznamuje še en dejavnik, ki teži k monopolizaciji. To so nizki mejni stroški, v angleščini marginal costs. Mejni strošek popisuje strošek, ki ga podjetje utrpi, če proizvede še eno enoto proizvoda ali doda še enega uporabnika storitve. Nizki mejni stroški pomenijo, da je širitev storitve poceni in spodbujajo nastanek velikih podjetij, ki lahko težijo k monopolizaciji. Skupaj z visokimi ovirami za vstop na trg to privede v močno težnjo k monopolizaciji, lahko pa tudi do stanja naravnega monopola. Zaradi te težnje k monopolizaciji se Karti zauzema za regulacijo spletnega iskanja kot javnega servisa, podobno kot so ZDA to storile s telekomunikacijskim podjetjem AT&T.
We might not be able to, you know, stop Google's power over search. For instance, maybe people don't want to pick between 20 search engines. Maybe they want to just have one. Maybe that makes sense for everybody to just be using the same search engine in the U.S. or, you know, in another country or whatever. And so maybe in that sense, what Google has in its search engine is, you know, maybe it's a natural monopoly in the sense that just by the nature of the product, it is easy to become a monopoly. We're not sure if that's the case, if Google is a natural monopoly. But in any case, it is a little hard to imagine a way to create a really competitive market for search engines, right? To have, say, 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 or 50 search engines competing with Google. And so one of the things that we push for is utility regulation of companies like Google in search. So that was what I was saying earlier about well, if Google's going to be so big, then they have to treat everyone fairly. So Google doesn't, you know, have to have a monopoly on data for search, but what they do have now is this control over search engines. And so we think that the best way to handle that fact is by utility regulation.
Zbiranje in analiza podatkov torej omogočata izboljšavo kvalitete storitve in s tem lastnikom podatkov omogočata monopolizacijo trga, novim podjetjem pa onemogočata vstop na trg. A to ne pomeni zgolj, da je Google lahko naredil najboljši iskalnik in si zagotovil monopolno pozicijo na trgu spletnega iskanja, temveč mu zbrani podatki omogočajo tudi prevzem novih spletnih trgov. Google se hitro širi po internetnih storitvah. Spletne strani za načrtovanje poti, kot je Via Michelin, je nadomestil v brskalnik prikladno integriran Google Maps. Nekdaj množico ponudnikov video vsebin, med njimi na primer Meta Cafe ali Daily Motion, je izrinil YouTube. Spletne strani za primerjavo cen je v mnogih državah izrinil Google Shopping, kar je bil tudi povod za nedavno kazen Evropske komisije Googlu. Le vprašanje časa je, kdaj bo Google v svoje ostale storitve integriral iskalnik letalskih povezav Google Flights in s tem verjetno izrinil ostale iskalnike, kot so Skyscanner in Kayak. Prav tako mnogokrat ni več potrebe, da bi kliknili na članek z odgovorom na naše vprašanje, saj Google skenira spletne strani in nam odgovor ponudi med samimi rezultati iskanja. In še bi lahko naštevali, a trend je jasen. Tovrstna monopolizacija vedno večjega obsega storitev na spletu pa Googlu ponuja dostop do še večje količine podatkov in tako vodi v nadaljnjo večanje moči. Da bi tovrstno špiralo monopolizacije prekinili, Karti predlaga.
Breaking up these big companies so that you're not allowed to have so much data all in one company is another solution. You know, Google has its data from search engine, but should Google be able to use that data for every single other business under the sun? They also use that data to create artificial intelligence, use it for things like self-driving cars and maps. And so this data is being used to leverage Google's existing power to get it into new markets. And so one of the ways to prevent the monopoly of data is to make sure that these companies can't get in so many industries, that their data in one industry is used to control an entire other industry.
Internetni monopoli, kot so Google, Facebook in Amazon, so pogosto prikazani kot moderna reinkarnacija naftnega monopola v ZDA iz začetka prejšnjega stoletja. Primerjava je mikavna. Podatke si lahko zamislimo kot novo nafto, surovino, ki vedno bolj poganja napredek in svetovno gospodarstvo. Analogija z Rockefellerjevim naftnim monopolom izpred stoletij, katerih razbitje ima v ameriškem zgodovinskem spominu izjemno pozitivno vlogo, prav tako igra na čustveno noto. A med naftnim monopolom iz začetka prejšnjega stoletja in današnjimi internetnimi monopoli obstajajo tudi pomembne razlike. V primeru nafte je imel takratni Standard Oil v lasti Johna Rockefellerja monopol nad črpanjem nafte in preko nadzora nad železnicami tudi njeno distribucijo. Ni pa imel monopola nad uporabo nafte. Nafto so pač za svoje potrebe kupovala posamezna industrijska podjetja. Današnji internetni monopoli pa poleg črpanja podatkov stremijo tudi k monopolu nad njihovo uporabo. Uporaba podatkov v tem primeru pomeni njihovo uporabo za širjenje storitev in njihovo monetizacijo preko oglaševanja. Google in Facebook večino, približno 90% prihodkov, ustvarita iz oglaševanja. V zadnjem letu sta skupaj zaslužili petino vseh globalnih spletnih oglaševalskih prihodkov, s čimer sta ta delež v zadnjih 5 letih podvojili. To sicer morda še ni monopolna pozicija, a trend gre v smeri koncentracije trga. Lani sta podjetji posrkali 89% vse rasti spletnega oglaševanja v Združenih državah Amerike. Komentira Karti.
Extracted the oil and distributed it, but it did not use it. But what we're seeing today, this is a good point to make, is these companies using it as well. So they're extracting the data, they're distributing the data, they're holding their own control over it, but then they're also using it to create their next product. And so, you know, you might be able to separate out the market somewhat in the way that we, you know, segmented the market for oil in certain ways. You might be able to separate it out so that one company isn't just collecting, extracting, selling, distributing, and using data, but rather, say, is only doing one of those things. So I think it is a useful metaphor, but it only goes so far. It's difficult to use oil to crush your competitors, right? Standard Oil used other tactics, like its pricing for its railroad shipping, to crush its competitors. But data, Facebook uses its data and its data collection capacities to crush its own competitors and to advantage itself over them. And so it is a useful concept, and I'm happy that it has, you know, achieved such popularity, but it only goes so far.
Kljub temu, da analogija med internetnimi in naftnim monopolom ni popolna, jo zagovorniške skupine uporabljajo za dosego cilja protimonopolne akcije oblasti. Ta pa je otežena zaradi preopisanega dojemanja cilja protimonopolnega delovanja države, ki ga je prinesla neoliberalna kontrarevolucija. Smisel protimonopolnega boja, kakršen danes prevladuje, je zgolj varovanje potrošnika pred izrabo monopolnega položaja za dvig cen, ne pa tudi varovanje konkurence in dobaviteljev. V pretežnem delu internetnega gospodarstva je sicer o cenah težko govoriti. Google in Facebook večino svojih storitev uporabniku namreč ponujata zastonj, v zameno za podatke, katerih vrednost pa je težko definirati. Tudi na primeru Amazona, ki na svojem portalu prodaja izdelke z določeno ceno, pa je zgolj varovanje potrošnika nezadostno. Amazon na primer cene drži na nizki ravni, s čimer potrošnika neposredno ne oškoduje, a hkrati stiska dobavitelje in izrinje konkurenco, s čimer se bliža monopolu. Pojasni Karti.
This is exactly the sort of company which is allowed to exist because of the Borkian, Robert Bork style antitrust thinking. But the truth is that Amazon, you know, does not need to raise prices to still have an enormous amount of control over the industry and weigh the pressure of competitors. So for instance, let's take books in Amazon. Amazon started as a bookseller, right? And what they did was they supplied books that were relatively price competitive, and you could have them shipped directly to your house, and you could get anything in the way that if you go to your local bookstore, they might not have some edition from 40 years ago or whatever it is. Now, Amazon kept those book prices competitive. So according to Robert Bork's antitrust thinking and the antitrust thinking of a lot of libertarian thinkers today, then that was acceptable because Amazon wasn't raising prices. There was nothing to see there. There was no concern. But the truth is that what Amazon was using, what Amazon was doing behind the scenes was incredibly anti-competitive. So though while they didn't raise prices, Amazon's still making a profit because they're pressuring book companies, they're pressuring book suppliers and authors and publishing houses to give them better deals on the books that Amazon buys from them. So even though Amazon isn't actually raising prices and thus isn't a concern, according to Borkian antitrust thinking, it is still using its monopolistic power to shave off profits for itself by pressuring the suppliers themselves, by pressuring the publishing house. So this is a way in which an exclusive focus on price really misses the way that market power is being used in this industry.
Omeniti velja še, da se je tudi Standard Oil, monopolist v naftni industriji na začetku prejšnjega stoletja, posluževal nižanja cen kot enega izmed orodij za dosego monopolnega položaja. Evropska komisija, ki je pod vodstvom Margarete Vestager v zadnjem času aktivnejša pri omejevanju monopolov, v svojem delovanju ne sledi doktrini antitrustovskega paradoksa. Kazen Googlu zaradi zlorabe monopolnega položaja pri promoviranju svoje storitve primerjave cen ni temeljila na zlorabi monopolnega položaja z dvigom cen, temveč z izrinjanjem konkurence. Kot ugotavlja Karti, je bila Evropska unija v zadnjem obdobju bolj uspešna v implementaciji svoje protimonopolne zakonodaje.
Yeah, I think that the biggest ones are now they're more skeptical of certain mergers and acquisitions, and they are, you know, doing a really good job of fighting the tax havens that these companies are using. For instance, Apple and Google have so many billion dollars stashed abroad so that it doesn't get taxed. I think the EU is doing great at handling all of that stashed wealth, and they're doing a great job with data protection. I think those are some of the big differences.
Kljub nekaterim potezam Evropske unije proti ameriškim multinacionalkam pa so bruseljske oblasti pokazale precej manj entuzijazma, da bi posredovale proti evropskim podjetjem. Nova pravila za mobilne storitve, ki onemogočajo čezmejno konkurenco in popustljiva obravnava luksotike, pa kažeta, da so odločitve glede posredovanja proti interesom velekapitala odvisne v veliki meri od razmerja politične moči. Glede na benevolentno protimonopolno politiko zadnjega desetletja na obeh straneh Atlantika, se zdi napredek že vedno bolj razširjeno priznanje, da so monopoli sistemski pojav v kapitalizmu in ne anomalija. Ponudbo in preopraševanje sta pripravila Cviter in Gal, tehniciral je Blaž, bral sem Benjamin.
Well,
let's get the auction underway. On the first cow here, who's got 55, sold your way.
79, JBS number one.
JJ's the
79, 89, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90, 90
osmih zvečer. Preuprašujemo ekonomske teme in ponujamo odgovore.
I want to talk for a few minutes with the people of the United States about banking.
No.